That's a question, isn't it? Are we listening? Now, who was using this week? Are you here today? Ginger, is that you? Come on. Okay. Oh, boy. Do you ever wish you could be in two places at one time? Yeah, my brother and I are, and with the help of our wives, God bless them, are trying to empty our dad's house. He's still alive. We moved him into independent living, enriched living this summer, and we're trying to get the house on the market this month. Yeah. My brother said over lunch, we had a garage sale over the weekend, and my brother said over lunch, I'm feeling overwhelmed. And he's retired. You know, I don't know. So I wish I could, like, photocopy myself and work at Dad's house and mow my own lawn back at my house and work here at the church. Although, for my wife, the idea of having three of me to watch over is probably a nightmare. Right? Yeah. I kind of suspected. What would happen to the ministry of Jesus when he returned to the Father? That's a pretty fair question. He would leave his work in the hands of the 12 disciples, which is a scary thought, right? Right up to the time of his death, they still didn't understand his nature and his mission. They were still fighting over who gets the corner office. They thought he was ascending to a human throne. But what if there could be a coach who could give us wisdom, encourage, and direction? And what if that coach could be in more than one place at one time? Can you imagine? What if the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Jesus could be with these common men so that they could do uncommon things? What if the same Spirit of God could be our coach today and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday? And what if God could speak to us directly? How cool would that be? Last week we learned that God speaks to his people both in the past and today. He speaks to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. And he speaks to us in ways that we can understand if we take the time to get to know him and to listen to him. So just as Jesus left his disciples to continue the same work they watched him do for 3 years, so now we who love and follow Jesus are called to carry on his ministry. And just as Jesus did not leave them on their own, so he does not leave us on our own. So today we're going to look at how we can hear God through the Holy Spirit. How the Holy Spirit is a way which God reproduces himself through you and me. So let's think about that. We live in the other side of the day of Pentecost, when God sent his Holy Spirit upon those who love and follow Jesus. We're going to start in John chapter 16. If you've never had a chance to read what we call the farewell discourse of Jesus, that final teaching time of Jesus with his disciples, knowing that he was soon to be arrested and within 24 hours would be gone and dead. John chapters 14 through 16, or 17, actually. The final words, the final teaching of Jesus, so important for us in the church. And in John chapter 16, in the second part of verse 4, we read this. I did not tell you about the Holy Spirit. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you're filled with grief because I said these things. So up to this point, Jesus has been their teacher, their leader. When it's time to go, he goes. When something needs to be done, he's there. But that's all about to change. He's returning to his Father. And here's the good news. He wasn't leaving them alone. Verse 7. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go, the advocate, the helper, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Here, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as our advocate. The Greek word is parakletos. Para, which means alongside. Kletos, which means called. So the Holy Spirit is one who is called alongside of us. It's sometimes translated our advocate or our helper, the one who is there to help us. It's used in common Greek to refer to an advocate, a lawyer who was there in court to represent you. So the Holy Spirit is called our helper, our advocate. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is still with us today. Jesus is saying to them, the disciples, and to us, this is really better. So much more can be done if I leave and the Holy Spirit comes. Because during those 3 years of earthly ministry of Jesus, his presence was limited to one place at one time. In the Old Testament, the presence of God was found in the temple. While Jesus walked on earth, he became the physical presence of God. But when Jesus died, when he defeated death, when he rose again and ascended into heaven, he sent us his Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit sent to live within each believer, allowing the presence of God to be in so many places and so many times. When Jesus told the disciples, "Greater works than these you will do," it was because the Spirit of God was in the disciples. And as those people went and lived their lives in their families, in their neighborhoods, in their jobs, God was working exponentially through all of them, through all of us. As a pastor, I'm not called to do all the work of ministry. I'm called to equip you. And just think, when all of us leave this place and go home to our neighborhoods, as we interact with our family, as we go to our jobs, as we're part of the community, that work that God is doing, the same work Jesus did, is done through us and through people like us all over the world. It was a mind-blowing, exponential way of expanding the kingdom of God throughout the world from a very small following to a movement that continues today. And here's the most incredible part. He wants to partner with us to do this. We get to partner with Jesus. His Spirit is alive in us, guiding, directing, helping us as our advocate. The Spirit is that coach who is always at our side. He will never leave us. If we go back to John chapter 14 and verse 16, Jesus said, "He, the Father, will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." Forever. Again, when Jesus spoke that, he was only on this earth for a few more painful hours. But the Holy Spirit will be present from generation to generation, from century to century, never leaving those who love and follow Jesus. And it's not just the Holy Spirit is with us, but actually in us. In John 14, verse 17, Jesus said, "For he lives with you and will be in you," working from the inside out. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? At that moment when you say yes to Jesus, when you put your life in his hands, the Spirit of God comes to live and work inside of you. And what does that Spirit do? He coaches us. He helps us become more like Jesus. He helps us to do the work of Jesus. One thing that people have noticed about the Buffalo Bills, you're all like, whoop. That's cute. One thing people have noticed about the Buffalo Bills is that they spend a lot of time and effort on player development. So that when a starter gets hurt, and we've seen that a lot, especially in the defense, when a starter gets hurt, the backup player knows what to do, and the team doesn't miss a beat. It's because of player development. It appears that God values player development. If God is the owner of the team, and we are the players, the Holy Spirit is our coach. So he calls us out when we mess up. We call that the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He shows us new ways of interacting with other people. He instructs us. He shows us the truth about ourselves and the truth about God. So let's break this down into two pieces. And the first is this: the Holy Spirit works to transform us. If those of you who are taking notes, that's the word. He transforms us. He makes us more like Jesus. How does he do it? How does the Holy Spirit speak to us? Well, I believe that he convicts us when we mess up. I believe that he gives us flashes of insight about ourselves. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's painful. I think he affirms us when we do the right thing. He gives us insight and wisdom, clarity of thought and direction. The Holy Spirit speaks to us as we read the Bible, and he helps us apply what we read to our lives. This isn't a mysterious thing, because God lets us know what we should look for, the kind of qualities that should start to appear in our lives. We call this the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And this should be in evidence in our lives with ever-increasing demonstration that we are becoming like Jesus. So what kind of qualities should we look for? The Apostle Paul gives us a list of these qualities, and I want to read that list to you from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And I'm going to read from the translation called The Message, because it's my favorite. But I hope you'll hear why this is my favorite translation of this passage. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, the evidence that God is making us more like Jesus. So as the Holy Spirit coaches you, are you listening? Are you coachable? Do you see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in ever-increasing ways? So the Holy Spirit works to transform us. Here's the second thing he does. He enables us to do God's work. We call this the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He enables us. As we use the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us, he helps us do the work of Jesus. I wanted to read briefly from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul talking about the gifting of the Holy Spirit. Let me start in verse 7. Let me go back to verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. And all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So, dear friends, if you love and follow Jesus, you've been given an ability, a skill, or several of them, something that you can contribute to the ongoing work of Jesus. So my question is, are you using your gift to build up the body of Christ and to do his work in the world? And are you cultivating that gift? Are you better at using it today than you were last year or 5 years ago? That's what we're called to do. Cultivate the gift. Use it to serve God. Get better at it. You have a role on this team, each one of you. And if we each do our part, the body of Christ will be healthy. We'll be able to do what God wants us to do. And what an honor to partner with the Holy Spirit. When we respond to our coach, the Holy Spirit, we will feel fulfilled. We will know great joy. We'll have that sense that we were made for this. There are times when I have faithfully used my gift and I'm walking back to my office that I just smile like a fool. You know why? Because I was made for this. I was made for this. And there's nothing like that sense of fulfillment. The flip side is if you are not using your spiritual gift, you will feel like you're missing something. Like, I'm not sure I'm experiencing all that God has for me. It's only as we're obedient. It's only as we discover and cultivate our gift. It's only as we use our gifts to serve God that we feel like we're living the life that God wants us to live. And I covet that for each one of you. I was made for this. So how did it all turn out? You know, Jesus was returning to the Father. He left his ministry in the hands of these guys. It was pretty shaky. But he said, wait in Jerusalem until the coming of the Spirit. And we know the story. They were in Jerusalem. It was the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit fell on them in flames of fire. And they began speaking languages and a rush of wind. And they began speaking languages that they had never learned before. And crowds were drawn to them. And Peter, who just 50 days earlier had run away and denied even knowing Christ, stood up and preached the first message of Jesus on the other side of the cross. And 2,000 or 3,000 people were added to their number that day. And boldness replaced fear. And the word, the news of Jesus spread throughout the region. And people's lives were changed. And here we are today, 2,000 years later, still in love with Jesus, still being transformed by the Holy Spirit, still doing the work of Jesus, and does our world need it? Does our world need it? It does. And that same Spirit of God, that same Spirit of Jesus, is not only beside us as our coach, but living in us, making us like Christ, giving us gifts that we can bring to the team, each one of us. God speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. And the question we're going to keep coming back to every week is, are we listening? When the Spirit, when the coach corrects us or shows us a different way or affirms something good that we do, are we listening? And when the Holy Spirit is gifting us, enabling us to do the work of God, are we moving ahead with confidence and boldness, knowing that the Spirit of God is within us to do the work of Christ, to be the people of Christ? That's exciting. I hope that you're part of it. I invite you to be part of it. When God speaks to you, I invite you to listen and respond in joyful obedience. Let's take a few moments before we sing our final song and ask God to speak to us. And when God speaks, how will you respond? Our Father, thank you that you have not left us as orphans. Thank you that you have sent your Holy Spirit to be our advocate, our helper, our coach. I pray that in this moment, on this day, in the coming week, we'll listen to our coach. We'll try things his way. I pray that this would be a week when we desire to be made like Jesus. When we bring our gifts, our abilities, our experiences to the team so that we can continue the work of Christ in our broken world. What an honor it is for us to partner with your Holy Spirit. What might you want us to do this week? What opportunities might you bring our way? What might you say to us if we take time to listen? We're excited to find out. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. What a wonderful gift he is to us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.